Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in Mark chapter 16 and help us to understand it. And may you be gracious to us because you are the glorious Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we have a deeper understanding of who you are and what you have done. And help us to walk in step with you so that we be blessed all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as I said before, I want Johnny Walker to read that. Because when you read it, I'm going to ask you the question. First of all, I'm going to ask you the question first. What's the name of the title that I'm going to preach today? Okay, now I would like you to read Mark chapter 16, 1 to 8. The question is, early in the morning, quite a few of followers of Jesus Christ, they are women, they are not men. They are not men. They're a woman, okay? Now the question I have to ask you, the answer is in 1 to 8, okay? Johnny Walker, you read that, you read it slowly, make sure you understand. You don't understand what you're reading, you don't get the answer, you read it again. Now the question is, all these women, early in the morning, to look for Jesus, do they believe that Jesus Christ has already been resurrected? The second question I'm going to ask is Moses, okay? So Moses, you better listen to what he has to ask, okay? I want to see, you know, how is your comprehension when you read the Bible? If you don't understand it, you are in deep trouble, okay? Now the question I have to ask again, when they go and look for Jesus, do they believe that Jesus Christ has already been resurrected? If you say yes, give me the proof. If you say no, give me the proof also, okay? All other people, I will ask too, okay? I want to see how much you understand. They're all in English, right? That's your native language, okay? Read that now, Johnny. Which word, 16 to, 16, chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. My question is, all these women looking for Jesus, do they believe that Jesus Christ has already been resurrected? If you say yes, give me the proof. The proof is in the text, okay? If you say no, give me the proof, okay? No, you read it first, okay? Okay, now they tell me the proof. Proof number one. What's the proof that they don't even believe that Jesus Christ has already been resurrected? So what's the proof? Oh, you are a smart guy. That's good for you. You know, you study English literature, right? Okay, salute, okay? You got the right answer. Another proof. what does it mean? So who wrote the stone? Probably Jesus, okay? I know you would say that, okay? Are you telling me the stone is square?
No, I'm saying it's circular.
Of course the stone is circular. It is not square. They make it circular so they can roll. You want to be, yeah. Look at your wheel. Your wheel is square wheel. That's what I'm trying to say. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, you don't roll the stone because it roll back on you. You got to be very strong in order to be able to roll the stone. Everybody know that, okay? But that mean, that mean you guys, you don't even understand all these basic all this basic thing, okay? So that is the assuming that's the hole. To hew the rocks, and then that's the buried place, okay? That's the opening, okay? And then they make the, the stone is bigger than the opening, right? And then it will be what you call. Let me see. It will be let's say that's the slope. You roll it upward, and then what should I say? You block it in here, okay? You roll it by hand, and then you block it here, and then you block the, this is the entrance. You block the entrance, okay? Because they're women, they don't have the strength to roll the stone. It's all rolled by man, right? It's very heavy. Now the question I have for you is, what's your argument? You say Jesus rolled the stone? Have you read the Gospel of John, chapter 20? Have you read the Gospel of John, chapter 20? No? So that's why you say Jesus rolled the stone. Let me tell you one thing. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he has a new kind of body. His body is transformed body. He can walk through the wall. You don't need anyone to roll the stone. The reason why the angel rolled the stone is to let the weak people see that. The tomb is empty. He's not there already. Jesus Christ don't need to roll the stone. When he resurrected, he just walked through the wall. He just go out. Gospel of John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 11. When Jesus Christ raised the Nazareth from the dead, remember what Jesus say? Roll the stone. Because Lazarus, when he was resurrected, and he still will die, okay, so that he cannot walk through the wall. He cannot walk through the stone. He needs someone to Someone to roll the stone so that he can walk out. You understand? You see the difference? Understand one thing, brother and sister. If you are lazy people, and just read Mark 16, regarding the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you won't understand what I'm trying to say. You have to study. You have to do it. You have to help yourself. I want you to write that down. When you read Mark 16, you have to read Matthew 28. You have to read Luke chapter 24. And you have to read Gospel of John 20 and 21. And then you think about that. Then you can have a deep understanding. You just read one portion of the scripture, your understanding is distorted. Okay? So my question is, do they believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected? And Johnny Walker say, he didn't believe that they believe Jesus Christ was resurrected. If Jesus Christ was resurrected, he's not there. How can you annoy him with spices? It's useless. Okay? What else that we think that they don't believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected? You mean they are afraid? Afraid of what? Yeah, you know what? If you see that Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected, you're not going to be afraid of anything. You're not going to be afraid of death because he was resurrected. Okay? And what else? Moses, what else? What else to prove that they don't believe that Jesus Christ was arrested? Miriam, you are the teacher. You tell me, you try to cheat. You tell me the answer, okay? Okay. Say it again. Yeah, but in chapter 16, you know, Miriam, could you read that one more time yourself? Okay. You know, could you read that 16, 1-8? I don't want to give you the answer, and then next year you forget the answer because too easy for you to get it. You know, we have to use the brain, okay, to understand what the Bible say. You read it, Miriam, okay? Okay, what's the proof that you don't believe that that's the key point. Listen to me carefully. A lot of people say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in his word. They don't believe in Jesus. Jesus say, when I'm resurrected, you will see me. And in only one place. It's in Galilee. And I will be there waiting for you. If you don't believe in this kind of word, you haven't even believed in Jesus yet. So all these women, they love the Lord. As a matter of fact, they love the Lord more than all the men. Okay? Why I'm saying that they love the Lord more than the man? The man do not believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. They were weeping. They were crying. They hide themselves inside the room. But where's this woman looking for Jesus? Bought the spices and then and try to annoy Jesus Christ. Okay? And besides, They don't think about who's going to roll the stone. They just do it, hoping that someone will help them. Okay? I tell you why they are terrified. Because the stone, if you read Matthew chapter 28, no one dared to roll the stone. You know why no one dared to roll the stone? Because King Herod have a decree, make an order, seal the stone. Anyone who opened it will be executed. Because the Jewish people tell King Herod, we are afraid the disciple of Jesus Christ will steal the body. And then saying that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Okay? Now my question to you is, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected? Because Jesus said, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There in Galilee, you will see him just as he told you. All the disciples, I say the male disciples, they don't believe in it. They don't go to Galilee. Okay? You know what? This is what happened to the church. God make a lot of promises, but people, they don't study the scripture. They thought they believe in Jesus, but they haven't believed in Jesus because they don't believe in his word. They don't hide his word within his heart. Okay? They do their own thing. Until they suffer, then they think, wow, what's wrong with us? How can we suffer? Okay? And what else are the proof? In Johnny Walker, you read the verse 9 all the way to 20. What's the proof that they don't believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead? Now the next question is, chapter 16, verse 16, you read it one more time. The question that I'm going to ask you is, whoever believes, what do they believe? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. What does the Lord Jesus Christ expect the believer to believe? Believe in what? Believe in what? Believe the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? So if you believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then you you baptize, and then you will be saved. So in other words, if that 16:16 is what Jesus say, if what he's saying is the truth, at that time, Peter do not believe, John do not believe, Mary the Magdalene do not believe at that time. All those people who follow Jesus, they don't even believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Let's say if there's an earthquake, okay, the earth open, and then they all die. Will they go to heaven, or will they go to hell? So all these people follow Jesus for 3.5 years. They don't even know what they believe. There are so many Christians are like this. Okay, I want you to remember that. Whoever believe is not believe Jesus. Believe Jesus in what? Believe that he has already been resurrected. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Okay? Now, I just want to add, I want you to read that Matthew chapter 8:28. Go back. Matthew chapter 28. Now I want to test your wisdom, okay? Matthew chapter 28. The question I'm asking you is, how come Matthew mentioned about what the soldier did and proclaimed and mentioned about what the chief priest did, okay? Okay, the scheme. If you were Matthew, if you were instructed to write the Bible, should you delete that verse 11 to 15, or you should put it in? Either way, if you say you should put it in, tell me why. And you say you should obsolete it, delete it, you tell me why. Okay, could you read that chapter 28, verse 1 all the way to 20? Okay. Okay, now, if you are the disciple of Matthew, if you are the apostle Matthew, okay, should you put this chapter 28 verse 11 all the way to 15 in the text? Now the Jewish people, you know what did the Jewish people believe now? What did the Jewish people believe right now until today? No, he didn't say that in here. I mean, in verse 11 to 15. So the Jewish people until now still do not believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Someone stole his body, right? Because, and they still believe in that rumor, okay? Now, if you are the disciple, if you are instructed to write the scripture, should you put this portion of the Bible in? Because you know what? Nowadays, a lot of Christians, they are lazy. They don't read the Bible. They just hear the sermon, okay? And when you read that, then you give him another argument not to believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Now, if they don't believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected, Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. The key thing is not believe in Jesus. The key thing is believe that Jesus Christ has already been resurrected. If you still do not believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected, you follow him, you do this, you do that, you do all these things are garbage. You won't be saved. You still go to hell. Now someone, the chief priest gives so much money to the soldier. The soldier did exactly, did the opposite of Proverbs chapter 23:23. You're supposed to use your money to buy the truth. You don't sell wisdom. You don't sell God's word. You don't distort it, because you destroy your own life. Okay? Now, Matthew write that down. A lot of people, they don't believe in the Bible. They say, look, maybe it is true that the disciple at night stole the body. If this is what they say, I want you to read that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 66. Unfortunately, on every Sunday, on every resurrected Sunday, I don't think the pastor have all this scripture laid in front of the congregation and for them to read it. So they don't understand. If the disciple is so afraid and hide themselves with inside the home, inside the room, and they're not even go to the tomb, how can they have the courage to break the seal in the tomb? I want you to read that, chapter 27, Matthew 62, all the way to 66. Yeah. In order to roll the stone, you have to break the seal. If you break the seal, you violate the order of the official. You'll be struck down. Do you think the follower of Jesus Christ, at that time, they don't even believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. They were so afraid. Do you think they have the courage to steal Jesus' body to risk their own life? Do you think so? If Jesus Christ is not resurrected, what's the point of stealing his body? Right? He's already buried in the tomb. He's good to go. Right? With all these Bible verses in front of us, doesn't matter how much money you give it to the soldier. Doesn't matter how much rumor they spread around. Matthew still write it down to prove that they are foolish. They don't buy the truth. They sell the truth. They sell their own life. They will go to hell. You understand? So if you were the Matthew, should you write it down? I will write it down. I will write it down clearly what the foolish people do and what the foolish people believe. And also write it down how the apostle is so weak, follow Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, don't even know what they believe. That's exactly what happened to the Christian nowadays. Everybody say, that's exactly what it is. Okay. Now, another question, and I'm going to ask you. A lot of people misunderstand the God's word regarding the sign. What's the reason why Jesus Christ gave them the sign? You don't understand that? You will do it, okay? I read that to you, Matthew 16. I want you to read that, Johnny. 16:15 all the way to 18. Why? The question is, why would Jesus Christ give them the sign? Mark 16:15. What did I say, Matthew? Okay, sorry. 16:15, he said to them. And Mark 16:15, okay? So my question to you is, why would Jesus Christ give them this sign? This sign will accompany those who believe. This sign will accompany those. I want you to circle the word. That word, those. Who are those? You say people who believe? People who believe and are baptized. I don't think so. That is what the so-called lot of people in the church believe. And if you go to YouTube, you watch it, you see some pastor, and they took the cobra during the worship time, sold it to the congregation, and let the cobra to bite his hand. And later on in life, after a few times, he was struck dead. So those, not necessarily to those who believe and is baptized. And I believe that their pastor believe and baptize. Okay? I don't think they understand God's word. And then they do it. They test God. So who are those? Miriam. They are the one who go to the world and preach. They first of all, they believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected. And secondly, and they were baptized. They're willing to die with Jesus, willing to bury with Jesus. They're willing to be resurrected with Jesus. And they obey Jesus' command. And they're willing to go into all the world. Okay? Jesus said to them, they're the 11 apostles. Okay? Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And this sign will accompany those who obey me, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now the question is, why would Jesus Christ give this sign? This sign will accompany those who believe, that in my name they will drive out demons. I want you to write that down. In my name, they will drive out demons. This portion of the scripture has already been fulfilled in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 18. When Paul turned around, in the name of Jesus, he drive out the demon. I want you to read that. Acts, chapter 16, verse 18. Johnny? Acts 16, 18. The Bible say, and this sign will accompany those who believe. That those is Apostle Paul. He believed that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. He believed that he is one of the men that he has to go into all the world and to preach the good news to all creation. And then he say, in the name of Jesus, he drive out demons. I want you to write that down. Another sign, second sign is they will speak in new tongue. I want you to write that down. They speak in new tongue. You write down Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Because they obey Jesus to stay behind in Jerusalem. They pray for 10 days. 10 days later, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit come upon them, they speak in new tongue. Okay? A lot of churches, they say, wow, this is the sign. They don't even preach the gospel. And then they speak in tongue. I want you to write that down. Speak in new tongue. You write down Acts chapter 2. You read the entire chapter 2. When they speak in new tongue, 3,000 people come to know Christ and they were baptized. They speak in new tongue. They're not barbering. They not say something garbage. They preach the word of God in new tongue in your language. Let's say if you speak German, all of a sudden when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit because I want to save you, and I speak your own language. I don't speak English because you may not understand English. I speak your own tongue so that you have a deeper understanding of the scripture. And then they believe. Acts chapter 2. They accompany that sign. And then, go back 16, Mark 16. He say, "16:18, they will pick up snake with their hand." It was also fulfilled. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 28. Read that Acts chapter 28, 1-6. Read that. Publius. Okay, I want to stop here. So what do you see? Two things was fulfilled. In verse 18, Paul did not pick up the snake to show that God is with him. He picked up the wood, but he wanted to put the wood in the fire. And the snake, you know, is hang onto his hand, you know, because getting fire, you know. You understand? He's not show off. He's not trying to show off. This one is in fulfillment of Psalm 91. I want to turn to Psalm 91. When you read the scripture, you have to understand what is testing God, what's not testing God. Psalm 91. I read that to you. Verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angel concerning you to guard you in all your way. They will lift up, they will lift you up in their hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. That's the promise that God gave it to Jesus. But Jesus did not test God whether he did it. In Matthew chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, when Satan tempted Jesus and asked Jesus, if you are the Son of God, jump down from the top of the temple and see if the angel will reach out his hand to hold your feet so that your feet will not strike the rock. And what did Jesus say? Do not test the Lord your God. He didn't test it. Paul is not the one to show off, to pick a snake, to show that even though I get beaten, nothing happened. No, Paul did not want the snake to bite him, right? He just picked up the wood. He didn't know the snake there. You understand? And the snake bite him. But nothing happened. And that is the fulfillment. The sign will accompany them who believe. Now, the question is, why would God give this kind of sign to Paul? Do you know? Preaching what? He's preaching what? He's preaching the good news. Because he's preaching the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be dead, to be bitten by the snake. But the Lord raised him from the dead. Nothing happened. And I tell you the reason. I want you to write that down. 16, verse 19 to 20. Mark 16, 19 to 20. After the Lord has spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. Preached word. Preached the good news. Preached the good news to all creation. And the Lord worked with them. I want you to write that down. The Lord indeed worked with Paul. And then the Lord confirmed his word by the sign that accompanied him. In other words, how do we know that what Paul write, what Paul preach is God's word. If Paul is not preaching God's word, when he is bitten by a snake, it will struck dead. When he lay hand on the sick people, dysentery can be a fatal disease. But he healed the father of the officer. And heal all the people when he lay hand on them. That means the Lord going to say to you, the reason why he can do it, because I'm resurrected. I now live inside him. When he lay hand in the name of Jesus Christ, that means I lay hand on the sick people. When he was bitten by the snake, that means the snake is bitten Jesus, but Jesus, well, nothing happened. Because I confirm that this man is my chosen instrument. He gonna write the Bible, 13 books, you better believe in him. Because God worked with him. And all these signs, I accompany him. Except one thing hasn't been fulfilled yet. And I believe it will be fulfilled. Whoever has the courage, whoever has the courage to preach the gospel to the Muslim. You know what? If you preach the gospel to the Muslim, if any Muslim family believe in the gospel, their parents will put poison to kill their own children. You preach the gospel, you go to the house to eat anything, they're going to give you poison. You're going to die. But I believe if that family name was written in the book of Lamb, you drink the poison without knowing that. But nothing will happen to you. That thing hasn't been fulfilled from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. I didn't see that fulfilled. But I know the time will come. If you have the courage, willing to die, you understand? To preach to them, you go and eat in their house, they put poison to you to poison you to death, but you are still alive. So this kind of scripture is not to everyone. Don't be a brave guy. Oh, I believe in God's word. No, you don't believe in God's word. You don't even know what you believe or what you don't believe. Did you go to the end of the world? Did you go everywhere to preach the gospel to all creation? You don't. You stay in the church. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why some people in Hong Kong, some preacher, they say, okay, I can drink poison. Okay, and then they drink it. A lot of people die. Do you remember there's a cult? I forgot his name. James Jones. Okay? James Jones. Because he knows that he's closing in by FBI. They realize that he's a cult. And he put poison in the orange juice. All those followers, they drink that. They all die. You don't do that. You're not preaching the gospel. Why would God sign accompany you? Who are you? The reason why God signed accompany Paul is to make sure that you believe in Paul. Because what Paul's saying is God worked with him. He's preaching the word of God. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians, I want you to read that. Corinthians 14, 37. Paul said that what I'm writing is God's command. It's God's word. Because God worked with him. Confirm the sign. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, some people, they just preach God's word and accuse Paul. Paul said that the kingdom of God, it's not a matter of words, it's not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. Show me the power. Where's your power? You have no power. That power is a God confirmation. That is my chosen instrument. And what he say is Jesus saying. What he do is Jesus working. Because Jesus promised them, I work with them because they obey me. I confirm my word, Jesus' word, because they preach Jesus' word. Brother and sister, That is what Jesus did on the day of his resurrection. He performed great miracle only in those who believe. That's Paul. Also, in Acts chapter 9 is a great thing happened. Paul was saved on Acts chapter 9. And chapter 9, Peter's life was changed. Peter's life willing to go to other places other than Jerusalem. And then God used Peter to raise Dorcas from the dead. You don't preach the gospel, you don't read the Bible, you just read that portion of the scripture of God's sign, you think you can drink poison and with nothing happen to you, you kill yourself, man. A lot of people, they just believe in the superficial of the word. They don't study the God's word. They test God. And then some people, they go to other churches, they want to speak in tongues. And lo and behold, the evil spirit come into you. And you destroy your own life. When you speak in tongues, someone can interpret it. And then they find out, while you're speaking God's word, you're speaking prophecy. And someone who understands your tongue, they believe in God and they're baptized. Just like the Acts chapter 2. 3,000 turn into disciples of Jesus Christ. Because they preach God's word. Some people speak in tongues. They speak in garbage. No one knows what they're talking about. And they like that. Because they read the Bible. They don't understand. They thought they believe in God. They don't believe in God. All right? I mentioned it on Friday, what Jesus did on Good Friday. Yesterday, I mentioned what Jesus did on the Sabbath. And today, I tell you what Jesus did on his resurrection. He tell you, go into all the world to preach the good news to all creation. How many people did that? You don't even preach the gospel to your own kinsmen, to your father, to your mother. How can you go to everywhere to preach the good news? Start with Jerusalem. Start with your own household. If you believe in it, God will confirm your preaching. Make sure your preaching is the word of God. And God can use his word to change your family member to become believer and a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you face difficulty, and God say, I work with you, verse 19 and 20. I not only work with you, I confirm what you're saying is God's word. Save people life. Read that. Then the disciple went out and preached everywhere. They believe in what God said. Go everywhere. Okay? And the word and the Lord Jesus Christ work with them and confirm his word by the sign that accompanied them. When they perform miracle, they are not showing off. They perform miracle is confirmed. What I say to you is God's word. It will save your life. You understand? So, brother and sister, in conclusion, I want to tell you one thing. I want you to mark that down. In Revelation, chapter 12, starting with chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, the false Christ and the false prophet will perform a lot of miracles too. You follow this kind of miracle and believe in Antichrist and believe in the false prophet, you go to hell. I say that one more time. You write that down. Revelation 11, 12, and 13. And then you write down 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In the end time, false prophet and false Christ will perform a lot of miracles to deceive the wishy-washy Christian. And then Jesus Christ said, allow you to follow them to your destruction. Read the Bible, 11, 12, and 13 of Revelation. Don't just believe in the miracle. If after you believe in their miracle, and they're saying their teaching is not in conformity with the Word of God, you don't believe in them. But how do you know whether their teaching is conformed with the Word of God? You have to study yourself. Understand? Do you need to study Scripture? Or is this good enough to listen to Pastor John's sermon? That's all. Is it just good enough to listen to his sermon without studying yourself? It's not good enough, eh? Our Heavenly Father, help us not to be a sluggard. Help us to be diligent in reading your word. And I pray you open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the scripture. We meditate on it. We ask you for grace, ask you for wisdom so that we can understand and so that we walk in it. We won't be stumbled. We won't be led astray by the evil spirit. Help us to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I draw this picture again.